Blog Talk Radio.
Happy National Signing Day! You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we don't care if it's rivalry week or not. We never liked U of M. Now, just to be clear, that doesn't mean we can't look at this weekend's big game objectively. But anyways, I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest in sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook, or you can follow us on Twitter and to listen to our archive shows, including yesterday's show where we gave you a primer for National Signing Day. On today's show, we will actually talk about National Signing Day a little bit, what's happened with Michigan State so far. iSportsWeb, Michigan State recruiting insider Ryan McCumber will be with us a little later to talk about that. Coming up very soon, we have Anthony Iani, former Michigan State basketball player, center on the Final Four team. He's going to join us. He's going to help us break down what the team looks like to this point. And we're going to look at the matchup between the Spartans and the Wolverines. And if I am not mistaken, that is Anthony with us right now. Anthony, thanks for coming on. How are you doing today?
Good. How are we doing today, fellas?
Oh, we're doing all right. We are doing all right. National Signing Day, a lot to get excited about for every sport, not just football. So it's interesting to see what the newest group of Spartans is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to see how that group is going to do. I mean, I know there's been a lot of hype around, you know, Donnie Corley, who, from what I've been hearing, is going to be a hell of a player when it's all said and done. And, you know, Messiah DeWeaver, I'm excited to see what he can do in the future. So I think this is the class that definitely sets the tone for Coach D and his program, and maybe it could be the class that takes, you know, Coach D'Antonio to the national championship one day.
Man, would you look at that, dude. We wanted to have you on for basketball, and you're giving us football insight, too. You're giving us a lot more than we bargained for. We really appreciate it. But, no,
anytime,
I mean,
man.
Hopefully that does work out with the class. The class does look very good. At the Dream Team 2016 is where you can find them on Twitter. I think that's run by Cam Chambers and Messiah DeWeaver. But let's get to basketball. That is your area of expertise. I mean, I hope you're right about football too, but let's start in the paint with Matt Costello. You played in the post, and so you know what it takes to develop and what it takes to work on that game. Costello's development from his junior year to his senior year, especially since Big Ten play started rolling around, he's been absolutely fantastic. What have you seen change in his game and his mindset as far as what it took to make that leap?
I think just overall is I think he knows that this is it. You know, this is his senior year, and he needs to go all out. And I think when Denzel went down with that knee injury, you know, I think he knew that he needed to step his game up. And from the first time they played Iowa until today, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's been more aggressive than I've ever seen Matt in his entire career. He's been great. He's been a great vocal leader for the team, along with Denzel, and even Brent Forbes is starting to let his voice be heard too. So, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, how much more aggressive and how much more, you know, post moves he's using and how much his rebounding has improved. And, I mean, if you look at that Maryland game, like, he single-handedly won that game for us, for Coach Izzo and his staff. I mean, the offensive rebound
right.
he had, and then the next possession he goes down and blocks a shot. And it just got everybody at Michigan State back on their feet again. And I think that moment right there really brought back the toughness that this team really needed this year. And that's all on him. And, again, I think it's because he knows that this is it. This is, you know, this is the last run for him this year, and it's time to go all out.
Well, you talked about Costello and Forbes trying to let themselves be heard a little bit more. But, I mean, Valentine, he appears to be the unquestioned leader of this team. And you've played with Draymond Green. What does it mean to have a guy like that on your team?
I mean, it means a lot because, I mean, a guy like Dede or a guy like Denzel who can step up and be the leader and be that vocal leader no matter what, I mean, it's huge because it means a team, you know, can follow that leader and go where he's going to take the team. It's just like any quarterback, you know, going back to the football standpoint here, it's like any other quarterback in the country for a football team. I mean, the quarterback's the leader, the team leader of the offense. So a team's going to go where the quarterback's going to take them. And that's kind of how, you know, Coach Izzo puts Draymond and Denzel, even Mateen Cleaves, in that category, because Coach Izzo's a big football guy, and he's always said, like, you know, my quarterback, or also known as Dede or Mateen or Denzel, like, we're going to go as far as they're going to take us. And but a lot of that has to do with vocal leadership, because if you don't have that vocal leader on your team, I don't know how far you're going to get, you know, whether it's in a season, in a tournament, or whatever. But having a guy like that, not just at Michigan State, but any team, you know, whether it's in high school or another college team in the country, I mean, it's huge in so many ways.
I mean, you've been talking a little bit of football. Do you think Izzo would be impressed with your football knowledge?
I think he actually might be a little surprised that I know more about football than maybe a little bit of basketball. But, I mean, the funny thing is, you bring that up. I mean, Draymond's the same way. I mean, Draymond is probably, I mean, next to me, maybe one of the biggest football fanatics that I've ever been around. And I think Dede is one of those guys, if he didn't play basketball, he would have played football. But, I mean, and that's the one thing about Michigan State, and you know this, is that it's a family atmosphere, and we're all so close together, especially, you know, us and the football players. Like, we're always talking smack, saying, oh, we could play this position, and they're saying the same thing about us. So I think that's what's really cool, and why we're all so big football fans and why they're so big basketball fans, is because we're always around each other and trying to figure out, you know, what makes their sport, you know, the best of all, and what makes ours the best of all.
All right. Well, I mean, if I remember correctly, going back to one of the spring games, Johnny Adams had to pull down on Draymond Green to make sure that he wouldn't catch a pass for one of those gimmick plays that State likes to run in the spring game. So let's.
I do remember that, and Johnny Adams and I had a class that spring too, and I brought that up. He said, "You really think I was going to let a basketball player embarrass me on my own field? I don't think so."
Yeah, let's turn our attention to the basket game this weekend. You grew up in the state, you grew up in the Lansing area, so you know about the rivalry, you knew what it means. But was there a moment in playing in the game, in preparing for it as a member of the team, where you just thought to yourself, man, I had no idea what this was really about?
Well, when I first got to Michigan State, I kind of had a sense or idea about what rivalry week was going to be like for us. But once we stepped foot on the court in practice, I mean, Coach Izzo took it to a whole different level. And when it comes to this week, Michigan State week, I mean, he's at a whole different level. You know, his intensity is through the roof. His game planning is even, you know, higher than it usually is. I mean, it's basically like we're preparing for an NCAA tournament game, but with even more, you know, higher stakes. And, you know, it's a fun week to be a part of because, you know, the fans get involved in it. Our university gets involved in it in so many ways. And, I mean, just coming back home and finally getting a taste of what it meant to be a part of the rival, I mean, it's really special. And especially coming from me, you know, most of my family, because my dad grew up in the Dexter area, which is about 10 minutes outside Ann Arbor, most of my family are Michigan fans. And so for me to be able to, you know, do whatever I can to help the team and try and beat Michigan that week so I can go home with bragging rights to friends and family, I mean, there's nothing better than that.
You kind of had you said that you kind of had a sense of what it meant even before you got to Michigan State. Was part of that because your dad did play on the baseball team and he played against Michigan? He knew what that was like?
Well, that too. And, you know, with my dad working in the athletic department, you know, just being at all the football games and all the basketball games and watching our guys play against Michigan, and even watching them when they, you know, I've been to a couple of games at Chrysler as a kid. You know, I got to watch the 99 team clinch the outright Big Ten title on Michigan's home floor. And I remember just like sitting behind that bench and just seeing how intense, you know, Coach Izzo was, you know, throughout that game. So that gave me a good idea of where things were going to be during practice week. But once, you know, I actually lived it, it was something that I never expected, but, you know, I should have known better because, you know, watching, you know, Coach D'Antonio and even guys like Ron Mason, Rick Conley, and Coach Anastas before they play Michigan, I mean, it's a whole different level, you know. And not just hockey, football, and basketball, but it's all of our coaches on campus. Like, when it comes to Michigan State, Michigan week for that, for whatever it is, for track meet, baseball, gymnastics meet, whatever, the mindset of every coach on that university's campus is so much different than any other game.
And former Spartan basketball player Anthony Ioane is with us today here on the Red Cedar Report. Now, when you're looking like specifically at the game, like the X's and O's aspect of it all, Michigan State against Rutgers, they struggled with the backdoor cuts and the back screens, which is somewhat similar, if not, it's at least the same concept of what U of M likes to run, with the exception of a couple more three-pointers thrown in there. How does MSU correct that over the course of this week?
I mean, I think obviously, you know, for this week, I mean, Coach Izzo is going to definitely have a lot of different things he wants to focus on. But because it's such a long week, I mean, he's going to have a lot more time to help practice and prep our guys for the backdoor cuts. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Monday, Tuesday, even today, he's working on, you know, defending the backdoor cuts. And he'll probably do that all week in addition to, you know, going over Michigan's plays and getting our scout team ready and that. But, you know, they'll be fine. You know, I think it's just, you know, I think Coach Izzo said it best. You know, sometimes in a game where a team is up by so much, I mean, you even see this in the pros too, like a team gets ahead by so much, like guys just kind of want to lollygag and just, you know, play it cool. And, you know, we can't do that at Michigan State. You know, we got to go 40 minutes no matter what. We can't take plays off. And especially for this game, I know Coach is going to make sure the guys don't take any plays off and the guys know what's at stake because they're only playing Michigan one time this year. And for our seniors, Denzel, Matt, and Bryn, if they – I mean, for them to only get one shot at U of M, they know it's at stake. And I guarantee that those three do not want to go out losing to Michigan their senior year because it sticks with you for life. And, you know, me, Day-Day, Brandon Wood, and Austin, we were very lucky to play Michigan twice because we lost to them at Chrysler early on in the season. Mm-hmm. And then they came back to our place a month later, and we were able to beat them and get bragging rights. So at the same time, they'll defend the backdoor cuts better than what they did against Rutgers because it's going to be a tight game. You know, it's not going to be a blowout. And, you know, we usually play our best when games are pretty tight.
Right. And, I mean, you said that they only play Michigan once this year. By
correct.
The time the game rolls around, it's going to be nearly a week since Michigan State even played a game. How does the team avoid losing the momentum that they've picked up since Valentine has returned? Specifically when it comes to shooting the ball with all of the hype and the energy and everything else surrounding the game?
I mean, those guys will get an extra shooting. I know when I was at Michigan State, I think there was a time where we had like a week to prepare for a game. I can't remember if it was Nebraska or if it was against Indiana. It might have been one of the two. But what we usually did was, I mean, Coach gave us a day off after one game, and then we would go practice for the next 4 days, but one practice would be light, and then he would really turn up the intensity after that. And at night, like, we would get extra film sessions in as a team and get some extra free throws and shooting up as well. So at the same time, like, it's not just a practice and be done for a day. Like, it's all the little stuff that that really helped us get through that, you know, week-long process. And, you know, the great thing is, and this is what's great about preseason too, is that you practice against each other so long, like, you're used to it. And I know it's tougher for those guys now because practice starts at the end of September instead of the middle of October, like when I was there. So they're pretty used to it, but, you know, their focus is not going to change. And I know for a fact that Denzel and Coach Izzo will keep reminding them that, you know, the focus has to stay on the game this week. And, you know, you take care of your business out, you know, in the classroom. And then once you get to Breslin, it's all business.
Again, Anthony Ioane with us, former Spartan basketball player. He's been doing big things as an anti-bullying motivational speaker. He's worked with the Be a Star's anti-bullying campaign. And we know you got to get going, so we'll let you go, but we want a prediction from you first. What happened?
You're
going to
put me on the spotlight?
yeah.
You know what? It's going to – I mean, there's no question. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a loud environment, but you know what? Our guys are used to that. You know, I got Michigan State obviously winning, but I got us winning. I'm going to go 75-62.
75-62. All right. Anthony, we'll let you go on that note. Thanks for coming on. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yep, thank you. Again, that was former Michigan State basketball player Anthony Ioane. I believe we have Ryan McCumber with us right now. Ryan, you missed it. He gave us a nice little recruiting insight. I don't think we need you anymore.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, man. It's been, I guess you could say, a forgettable day for MSU recruiting, to say the least.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stop you right there as far as forgettable, because you still do have the big name sign. The problem is – Well, it's not even really a problem when you look at this. This is Michigan State's best class. But the issue is that there has been a few, I believe it was four big-name recruits that Michigan State held open roster spots for, and it doesn't appear that anybody's going to get those.
That'd be correct. You're right on that.
So
So
the next question would be regarding Austin Robertson. What's going on with his situation? Why is he not going to sign today?
Apparently, there was news that just came out that he is facing misdemeanor battery charges. So that's the staff obviously won't touch him as long as he has pending charges. If I had to take a guess, I don't really know anything inside on the situation. I guess that he probably goes the junior college route, because I don't see Mark Antonio taking him in this class if he's got pending charges.
And the good thing is, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the defensive line class, it's absolutely stacked, even without Robertson.
Yeah, it's the best. It's probably the best class they've had, and I think even since depending on what happens with Montez Sweat, I think you're going to see Josh King play a lot this upcoming fall, just based on the, I don't know if it's a lack of depth, but just so much uncertainty at that spot now. I guess that Malik McDowell is probably going to stay inside, but I think Josh King's going to play right away.
Right, and that's what's going on the recruiting front. But like I did talk about, even though it is signing day, it is also Michigan week. And so you kind of have to balance out your priorities, if you will. So you've been watching the games, and you've been seeing what to expect from both Michigan and Michigan State. Last night, U of M, their own floor waxed with them. They lost by, I believe it was just a 13-point game. They were up 15-4. I looked at my phone. They were up 15-4. I look at halftime, and all of a sudden, Indiana went on a 44-9 run with the help of a 25 unanswered points. Is there a chance, given Tom Crean's history with Izzo, that Izzo gives Crean a talk as to, hey, look, what do I need to do to slow down Derek Walton? What do I need to do to slow down this Michigan offense?
Honestly, I'm not sure if Tom Crean is the guy to talk to about defense, but, you know, they did shut down Michigan yesterday. But Indiana was just absolutely lights out yesterday. Michigan, they were just absolutely, they went ice cold. I think it was a 25-0 run in the half. And
Left 8:30 was a 25-0 run.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't see that happening again, obviously. It's probably just a one-time thing. I still think it's going to be a pretty close game on Saturday. But, I think Indiana exposed Michigan a bit, so that might help MSU out. All
right. Looking specifically at Michigan's play, you know, the Spartans don't have Tum Tum there. How do you – we kind of talked about Aaron Harris kind of being that guy who needs to step up. And we don't know if he can necessarily be consistent on both ends of the floor for an extended period of time at the same time. How is Michigan State going to slow down Derek Walton without overhelping, given the fact that they like to kind of take a Michigan State route and load the perimeter up with four guys who can hit.
Like we said yesterday, Aaron Harris is going to have to step up defensively. He'll have to play like he did against Melo Trimble. It's going to be interesting to see because, you know, like you said, Michigan likes to spread out the floor. And, MSU's defense has been spotty at times this year. We'll see if Forbes can step up defensively. Valentine should be fine. But they might put a bigger guy out on the perimeter with Michigan's smaller lineup to cover somebody on the perimeter. So we'll see. It should be interesting to watch.
One of the things that's been talked about is Duncan Robinson he's listed as a 6'8 guard or small forward, but he has the ability to hit the outside shot. His height obviously comes into play a little bit. Do the Spartans roll with Deontay Davis like they plan to and try to take advantage of Robinson on the inside when the Wolverines are on defense? Or do maybe you see a little bit what you saw against Rutgers where Denzel Valentine does end up playing the four, and then you can have a guy like McQuaid, Harris, and Forbes out there as well?
I think they're going to stick with the bigger lineup. They can dominate Michigan inside. The Michigan's bigs aren't that impressive. I think Deontay Davis and Matt Costello should handle that pretty easily. I think you're going to see a bigger lineup throughout the whole entire game from MSU. I think Costello and Davis are going to have pretty big games.
Well, here's another one for you. Another scenario is you said they're going to go with the bigger lineup. Michigan State, they've got two guys who play power forward in the bigger lineup, even though they're about 6'5", 6'6". Does Javon Bess start seeing more action? And does Marvin Clark maybe become the backup power forward and bump Kenny Goins?
You know, Goins had a good game against Maryland, but other than that, he hasn't really impressed me. I think that you're going to see Goins move out of the lineup, bit by bit, and you'll see more Clark and Bess. Bess has had his issues. He hasn't really impressed me with his play. But Marvin Clark was a pretty good player last year, so I think that you're going to see more of him.
Sorry, go ahead, dude.
I think that Goins is going to sporadically, they'll move him out.
And I've kind of thought that at the beginning of the year. I assumed Clark would eventually replace Bess, which it appears he has, at least as far as the rotation goes. Bess has pretty much been limited over the past couple games to playing in blowouts, playing very few minutes if it's not a blowout. And so you see a little bit more of Clark. I do think Kenny Goins, look, he's had his moments. Tom Izzo said at the beginning of the year that Goins was the most impressive player as far as their summer ball and improvement and what he expects from them anyways, that Goins may have overperformed a little bit. He played well against Louisville. He's played well against Maryland. He's played well in the big games. And so he may end up playing well against Michigan. But I can kind of see this situation Saturday playing out like, me and Anthony, we were making a lot of football references. I can see the situation at the power forward spot playing out like Michigan State's running back spot. You play the hot hand. And whether that's Goins when he comes in, because I think he's going to get the first crack at it, or if it's Clark, who I think would stand would fare the best out there, or if they have to go to Best, I think they will, but I think they're just going to go with the hot hand, regardless of who it is, even if it's Colby Wallenman.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's actually a really good reference, the football, the running back reference. That's pretty fair. That's a good point with Goins, how he's played in big games. You know, he might step up against Michigan. We'll see. But I think long-term, Clark and Best, especially Clark, are going to be the options.
Yeah, I can see Duncan Robinson being the big X-factor in this game. And if the Spartans do end up putting it together to where they can slow him down, and this is also kind of dependent on if Caris LeVert comes back, because I think that would open up even more around the wing. I think Duncan Robinson's going to be the key to this game. If the Spartans can stop him, then I think they got a really good shot of winning this game.
Yeah, that's definitely a key. I mean, you can, if LeVert plays, he might have to knock off some rust, but if he plays, you let him get his, and then, you know, you got to slow down the other guys, especially guys like Robinson, who's just a great three-point shooter.
And if you remember right, Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman also gave Michigan State the business a couple years ago. And so maybe they do end up just trying to force, maybe the Spartans do end up just trying to force one player to hurt them as opposed to getting picked apart by everybody. And
yeah,
I mean, you and me, we referenced the 2003 Detroit Pistons Orlando Magic series the other day as far as Tracy McGrady, what they did. The Pistons fell down 3-1. They let Tracy McGrady get his, but they shut down everybody else. They came back and they won the series.
Exactly, and that's what Michigan State's done in the past. You and I talked about this yesterday off the air. We were talking about Kevin Coble and Taylor Battle going off on Michigan State constantly.
Oh.
And, you know, I mean, Penn State and Northwestern won both those games just because those guys just had absolute career days. But, that's sometimes the Tom Izzo strategy. Let one guy get his, and you got to slow down everybody else. And usually it works.
I think another key to the game is going to be Matt Costello. We talked about it in brief yesterday. I even did a piece on it yesterday morning. If the Spartans are going to win this game, as dependent as they have been regarding three-pointers, they've made 33 over the past two games, hit 16 against Northwestern, tied a school record 17 against Rutgers. They can still shoot those threes. The problem is I don't think they can play for those threes. If they give the ball to Costello, Michigan comes down and they double-team, like Michigan has had a tendency to do with the better bigs that Michigan State's had, then I think he can kick it out to Valentine or to Forbes or to Harris or to McQuaid. Is that what you see being the key as far as Michigan State on the offensive end? Because we talked about Duncan Robinson on defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the first priority has to be getting some post play that goes well. Obviously, Costello has been a walking double-double since conference play started, and Deonte Davis is starting to play better. But, yeah, Michigan doesn't have the bigs to keep up with Michigan State in the post, so... like you said, they might have to double-team Costello, maybe Davis every once in a while, and then you're going to find somebody out in the perimeter who can shoot. And Michigan State has the shooters to make Michigan pay for double-teaming their bigs.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Well, that pretty much does it for us today. I know you guys get back to our Twitter page and keep posting updates as far as how National Signing Day is going. Thanks for filling in for us on such short notice. Again, that does it for us today. Thanks to Anthony Ayani also for coming on the show. For Ryan McCover, I'm Tyler Hayward, and you've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.